Again. Next, Doug.
Belch.
So, Ted, you were saying how the encoding of accents of characters should be a level on top. It shouldn't be a different character per different kind of accent.
But unfortunately, it's all the systems of alphabet within... All the systems of alphabet that are used in the internet and computer world now would not be adapted to that. However, my proposal is to, in Deepland and Xanadu, to actually have a reduced set where the alphabetic, where the ones with diacritical marks are recognized as the same thing, because almost every character with a diacritical mark has a base character it's built in. So you have D that's crossed, C with a cedilla underneath it, and all these things. Might as well be recognized first as a C, and then...
Exactly.
That wouldn't work with Norwegian, because the A with a circle, O.
Yeah.
And the A are completely different. They have no shared meaning.
But what I'm saying is that they could have a shared lookup.
Yeah, but that's
all I'm talking about.
No, but if you take like a name like Renee, with or without an accent, that's almost like parents decide whether it's going to be an accent or not. Yeah. So there it has the same meaning, but with a Norwegian circle with a line, which is
Yeah. I'm not saying they have
And where would that be useful?
You're kidding me. It would be useful in all cases where people weren't sure.
Totally.
And also, for example, suppose a foreigner is typing in Norwegian.
Okay, that's a very good point.
They don't know that with an O it's pronounced Ö, slash O it's pronounced Ö. They see the O. They could just type the O and a search would bring the thing.
And they could get confused with a German umlaut with the two dots.
All that.
Exactly. Oh. All that.
But the point is that's the point. Because we don't have parallelism. See, other people talk about hierarchy. I talk about parallelism. If we had parallelism in characters, this would be possible. And now Richard Stallman, in the latest version of Emacs, has parallelized characters. So he calls it deep bytes.
Just explain that to me. Parallelism.
Yeah, thank you. That was my question.
Well,
let me ask you at the same time. What's parallelism?
I made some nice presentations for your Southampton talk, that for the talk we shared in Southampton 2 years ago. And I can...
Oh!
For the money. Okay. Many things are best viewed as parallel structures rather than hierarchical structures. For example, one of the examples I used is the different versions of South Pacific. You know, the musical South Pacific and the original book, Tales of the South Pacific. If we consider all of them, the original book, Tales of the South Pacific, was big and fat. Then there was a slimmed-down pocket edition, which I read when I was in grade school. Then they made the musical, Tales of the South Pacific, from it. But they based one of the storylines in the musical on a chapter that wasn't in the pocket edition. So that all the millions of people who'd read the pocket edition, which was the majority, saw the play or the movie, and here was the story they'd never seen. So there's the two books, the play, the movie, the long playing record. All of these are parallel media around the same general structure. Now that's a parallelism. I think the human body is best thought of as parallel. If you try to...
And these pieces of chocolate are all parallel.
I'm trying to answer a question. It's very hard.
Sorry.
If you try to think of the human body as a hierarchy, you get into a lot of trouble. Because what's on top? You kill any of them, you kill the beast. But if you say that the neural system, the circulatory system, the pulmonary system, the skin, the general urinary system, the digestive system, all of these are parallel structures with multiple couplings, then we have an overall visualization. If you consider Hamlet,
let's just stick, say, with the human. That's
okay.
A good example.
Yeah.
So, parallelism in that. That these different systems overlap.
They interpenetrate. So, for example, the muscles interpenetrate with bones in many specific places.
But still, there's another mango in your bag that you left.
So I buy it.
Okay. And with every document, there are successive versions, and also there may be parallel versions. For example, you might have a report to the CEO of a company with a variant which is sent out to the stockholders, and another variant which is shown to the employees, and they all share content. So this is my fundamental visualization, and my first article in 1956 was about parallel document structures.
And that's great.
And how they can be visualized.
Mm-hmm.
And so carrying that down to the bottom level, you look. I look at HTML. I say that's ridiculous. You've got the text, and now you've inserted these things between the text for the markup. That means it can only be marked up one way. Whereas if you took the took the font information and the link information and put them in a parallel layer, now you could have many different appearances for the page. Now you could have far more links to the page because they could, and they could point in all directions.
My instinct is says, okay, great, but then suddenly at that last example, I couldn't grab it.
Okay. Let's take an HTML page. It's based on the WYSIWYG notion that there's only one way the page is going to appear. And so we're going to represent that one appearance, and the links can only point one way, and they can't overlap.
Okay. It's going to show... It specifies a given portrayal.
Yes.
Okay. So the next thing you mentioned, sorry about links.
Okay, I'll leave out the links. Let's just talk about the graphic, the fonts. Suppose you'd like to have different portrayals, as you say, and different sets of fonts, and you'd like to present the page one way for one audience and another way for another audience.
Mm-hmm.
If you take out the font information and put it on a separate overlay layer, then that becomes simple. You just select the overlay, and you get it to look one way or the other.
That's what you say, or parallel.
Yeah. It's the philosophy of parallelism taken down to the level of...
What's this woman doing?
She's pouring wine.
That's it.
Oh, boy.
I have to have more. I'm going to
get some more Rochester.
You got it, honey. I'll bring it.
This is the way I see everything.
Does that make sense to you, Doug?
Oh, it's very intriguing.
That should be part of any DKR on discussing alphabets and internet interpretation of languages has to deal with.
Oh, that's great.
I think it's a great specific example, isn't it?
Doug, the news today. We got the most astonishing news. You know, there were two versions of Xanadu at Autodesk. The one they put aside foolishly, and the one that The technical guys under Mark Miller. So they had a technical team of something like 20 people at different times.
Oh yeah, I was overwhelmed with you.
Yeah. But basically, they put aside the almost completed version, which was called, I call it XU88 to distinguish it, because it, to me, if you look at my catalog of Xanadu system, I don't know if you've ever seen the page, but I have like 15 or 16 different designs catalog. And they all begin with XU. So XU88 was the one I liked best, and they put that aside. So 4 years ago, I think, 5 years ago, we put this stuff into open source. And that one was called Udinax Green. Udinax is Xanadu spelled backward. I wouldn't let them use the name Xanadu finally because I could see it would lead to all kinds of fighting and wrangling. And so it's now Udinax Green. So the news, and Roger Gregory finally said, he kept saying for 10 years that it would only be one afternoon's work to get it finished and debugged. But he didn't take that afternoon's work till last year. And he says it's now working. A fellow in Texas named Jeff Rush, who somehow baptized himself another member of the group, but he won't reply to my emails, he has now converted that to Python. It says it's working. And so that is now, he's giving a paper shortly. So the old Xanadu is awakening from the dead.
That is so awesome, honey.
It really is.
It's just...
Now the deep net structure I have just designed...
Oh, wait. I never got a clear picture of what the Xanadu thing was that group you guys were trying to implement. Yep.
Well, there are two of them, and I don't even want to talk about the second, the last one.
Yeah, exactly. Don't.
So, Xanadu Mind has always been. I'll draw it. The last minute version first.
Well, can your zigzag be integrated into Xanadu? Or vice versa, or whatever.
I'm thinking about it now. Yes, it can. I've been trying to keep the two of them separate, but it seems that they won't stay separate. So there we are. Let me just give you the overall picture. So, so parallelism is my whole model for everything, as opposed to hierarchy. And in any case, the Xanadu model has always been.
Can your two parallel things each be hierarchical?
At the user's request, anything the user wants to be hierarchical, fine, but it does not require hierarchy is imposed by XML, for example. And that doesn't make sense to me. So, to paraphrase, Einstein said, "Everything should be as simple as possible, but no more so."
Mm-hmm.
And I say, "Everything should be as hierarchy as necessary, but no more so." Or is desired. Okay, so basically, the Xanadu model is that you have a content pool of available content. I won't distinguish between private and public here, but you can have private content and public content. And content is divided defined as text, characters, audio samples, audio samples, video frames, and no addresses ever change. And or you can have pseudonyms, so one thing can have more than one address that are equal. And then what you distribute lists of content plus links and structure information, etc. And these have a common format. So, for example, if you
want... What does distribute imply?
I send you a document. I don't send you the characters.
Well, okay.
I send you the list
of... Distribute means I'm sending.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Or you're downloading. You download not a web page, but a list of the content.
Mm-hmm.
And this has several functions. One is that if there's a charge for the content, you then buy it from the rights holders, if you choose to buy it.
Okay.
Because I've always seen this as integrated with the copyright system and with the fact that people will be selling content. Some things will not be free.
But much will be free.
Yes.
Yes.
And to be able to integrate free and non-free material in a document. So the idea is that if it's in the available content pool, then anyone can freely combine it because all you're sending out is a list.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we have to have a special.
So the things that are in the list,
mm-hmm,
are objects that can be interlinked and all kinds of things, right?
Well, the word object is tricky. They are, I'm calling them media strands, because an object implies a hierarchy in the current usage.
But
not to me. But
okay.
Not to me,
okay.
Either.
Okay.
But pictures aren't hierarchical.
Right.
They're just pictures.
On the other hand, the word as used by the object-oriented programmers, beginning with...
Right. Right.
New guard and on to the latest is typically hierarchical.
Okay, but we're not talking about a hierarchy.
Right.
But you're talking about text and audio and video more than, like, pictures, right?
Pictures fit, but this model is much clearer
right.
when applied to text,
okay.
audio, and video.
Okay.
If you got video, that includes pictures.
Yes,
well,
but
frame.
But when you come to other aspects of pictures, you might say high res versus low res.
Okay, or yeah. diagrammatic versus.
But or you might be sending for part of a picture, but this is the base model that these can have different owners and different prices, and I hope as much as possible free, and also permission, and the permission doctrine is called. Transcopyright.
So all that goes with every list.
In the fridge, top shelf.
These are the lists, right, and this is the content.
So a list is a bunch of objects that may have these attributes.
No, these are strands. These are content lists. By strand, I mean sequential, but not
but, but an item on a list could be.
It refers to a span of this stuff.
Yes. A span.
Series of bytes, a series of
phrase, a sentence, a paragraph.
Okay, on a list, an item could be a string of characters.
Mm-hmm.
An item could be a
string of frames.
Photograph.
Yes.
Or a string.
Yeah.
All kinds of objects.
Yeah.
But I'm talking especially about these three kinds because of the.
No, wait a minute. Again, these three are
text,
video,
audio.
Because they're countable elements.
So what would a diagram be like you create in PowerPoint?
This week I'm not talking about those.
Well, okay. Can you think about it?
I've thought a lot about it, but it would open
like
up such a much bigger discussion.
It's like a frame of video.
It's like a tape. But I agree.
Okay.
It's just a discussion that
okay.
that
yep,
in, right. I'm trying to, I really want to concentrate
yeah, sure.
on this particular
sure.
insight.
Sure.
So that if you want to make a movie, for example, out of footage that's already been, and by the way, Brewster Kahle of the Internet Archive is very much behind this.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a lot of footage that is copyright free that he is making available.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
What footage? Is that old, like researchers?
Old duck and cover propaganda
oh, okay.
stuff from the 1930s and 40s.
I remember that you and I met somebody at a conference, years ago, a researcher who was perfectly willing to make all of his research footage available, even though just bits here and there had been put into some documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, oh my God, wouldn't that be great if all researchers made their raw
sure.
research material
Do we
available?
We have his name?
Oh, probably
yeah.
somewhere, yeah.
yeah. So deep lit, then Xanadu and deep lit are the same thing. This is the model. And if you want to make a movie, remember that a movie is not just video and audio. But remember, this is audio and video, so you can select the soundtrack and the move and the music and all that. You put out the list, and these pieces tell you how to put it together.
So the list would separate audio and video. Is that right?
In principle. And again, this is really for explanatory purposes. All the mixed cases are possible, but this is the case that highlights most clearly what I'm thinking about.
Well, how else would it be if you wanted to indicate here's a package of information?
We don't have that.
Pardon?
You go to the list of content, or you make a new list.
No, I'm just saying. How else would you do it?
That's how you do it.
No, wait a minute. You're talking about Xanadu. I'm saying, what else?
Oh, okay.
Who has some op? Isn't that just the basic way people would assume you'd do it?
What an amazing thing. I can't believe he said that.
Well.
Because I haven't met anybody in the world who did except you saying this right now.
Because other people think what? You'll just have to look at a lot of different documents.
You all only sell the finished package.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did I do wrong?
You made me
so
very happy,
right.
Doug. You made me very happy.
And all of a sudden makes me see documents as organic things.
Yes.
They have roots.
It's a package of symbols.
Yeah.
And what this then allows is that I have a versioning system so that incremental changes are recorded so you can go back and forward in time on this list. Mm-hmm. That's it. So now the deep in the old Xanadu version, all of this.
What would you guess? What has anybody else ever suggested about a package? Here's a package of content.
It's all they want to sell. In other words, we'll say you can buy this whole thing, but you can't buy the pieces.
No. Any way you can package it. You can package it in this kind of pieces, that kind of pieces, etc.
Well, but people sell books, their whole things.
Sell or say I'm referring it to or go look at.
Yep.
You know, you want to talk about, hey, here's a package of content to look at.
Yep.
So it's the ultimate extension of what a view spec might be.
View spec?
A view specification, where the viewer, the user says to the system, I want to see this information in this manner.
Yeah. And therefore could see, hopefully.
Anyway, I think Doug just said something very positive. How else would you do it? But I don't know anyone else that does it this way. Because
who's doing it?
Who's trying to?
Mm-hmm. Where are examples of people doing things with a similar objective? It must be.
There are many different people doing things with similar objectives, but in the XML world.
I'm steamrolling here.
I don't.
Could you slow down just a little bit?
In the XML world, it's so different. The little I understand, I probably cannot represent correctly.
But is XML trying to do this?
They say that in some obscure variants of RMPQTL blah, some variants of XML, they will bring in pieces, but only as a node and not as an individual character, not as a character span. Not as an addressable span.
All right. To me, this connects with, Doug, you know, when you've been talking to me about augment and you say, oh, look, here's this paragraph over here. I want to switch it. It's that kind of addressing. It's that same kind of addressing that he's talking about.
Well, I've always assumed that all those packages of information had all kinds of addressability.
Well, if you look at Adobe Acrobat, it does everything it can to forbid addressability.
Yeah, PDF.
Adobe Acrobat.
Right?
You're what? Okay.
Meaning what?
Meaning that I don't even consider that they're after a different purpose.
Yep.
Totally. They're there to represent paper.
And say, okay.
What you see is all you get.
Exactly.
Wizzy wagon.
I like that.
Oh, I just really hated that wizzy wagon.
He just forgets.
What?
He's one of Doug's, he just forgets.
What you see is all you get is one of Doug's, yep. Okay.
That's very nice.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Don't
hope for more.
There's one I like, which is Wiggy Poof. What you get is what you pay for.
Oh, I like that too.
That was Tom DeFelli. So anyway, just to finish about deeplit versus Xanadu.
As they say in the army, don't forget that your weapon's made by the lowest bidder.
That's kind of sad.
Okay, so.
Lovely.
So Xanadu 88.
Oh, no spoon for you, Doug.
Yes.
Oh, he can't eat then.
Sorry, Dad.
Okay, this is just a small key point. So Xanadu 88 is a very special address space, which is Tumblr address space, and which is what?
Oh yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm.
And deeplit is about conventional files. Now, tumblers are wonderful, and it is a hierarchical numbering system.
Do I need to know what that is before we go ahead?
Yeah.
Does he?
Tumblr is a... it's in Literary Machines. It took me a year to get the mathematics written. But the diagrams I put in Literary Machines, I figured out that Roger hadn't known. So the point is that this is a single space, so it's a single address space for hosts, accounts, documents, versions, characters, and links. All in one. So any of those is not only on this line, but subject to a very special kind of arithmetic that allows you to, so that you can address spans meaningfully of nodes and of versions, etc.
So what are nodes?
Oh, pardon me. Hosts, they now call them. They were calling
them. What's a host?
Computers.
Jerry, I feel that this is a sidetrack. Okay, so I'm going to stick to the
Xanadu 88 was the special mathematics, and deeply I mapped this to conventional files, that's all. But now that they'll be compatible, now that this guy has Xanadu 88 working, we can actually throw this stuff into the deeplit design, because I designed it so they would both work seamlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, should I bother with this? And the answer was yes.
Very exciting. Shall we try to talk about how dynamic knowledge repositories can be built, possibly using some of your tools, honey?
Sure.
Well, I think that's a starting point. I mean, for example, Bill Dutton wants to come and talk to Doug
mm-hmm.
on Friday, and I think his question is, in terms of signing on to the vision, is, well, where do we start? And the way most people would start is with a dynamic knowledge repository. And then the question is, how do we start that? What are the tools to do it? So, Doug, how would you tell a person like Bill Dutton where to start in terms of building a DKR? What are the tools available? I think Frode is doing something, and other people are doing something. But how does the person start?
There's just a hell of a lot to learn about what the challenges are.
All right.
I think some way, it's just saying, here's as good a way as we can get right now about representing this knowledge. So let's try to, but you have to pick a given knowledge domain.
Exactly.
And I think the highest strategic leverage you'll get if you pick the domain of saying, hey, I want to go out there and see what looks like DKRs and get the best picture possible of what currently is being done that is the nearest possible. Who's got?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's like looking to see what the tools and examples are. So let's say Bill defines a certain area that he wants to build a DKR around. Like, let's just say as an example, e-voting, which is a very hot topic right now. And I know the OII, his institute, is interested in it. So, how does he start? Now, he's got lots of papers about e-voting in there, lots of internet threads about e-voting, but how does he build a DKR?
You know, Ted's got pictures. I got pictures with Augment, with different things like this. He's got some starting. Just pick one and try to do the best you can.
Okay.
That's really key.
Okay, so we'll pick yours. Fred, what have you got? What's your tool?
Very simple. We're building a system where
people can enter resources into the system, as in what is appropriate, what links to the system, you know, what if anything to do with e-voting. You would just go to a web page, click add resource, you would add a URL to whatever that resource is and write some comments about it. So what that means is it's now inside our system in a structured manner.
Mm-hmm.
So you could then, this is where it's very similar to the Xanadu structure, in the sense that I want to have as little as possible, now I'm talking for me, not for Doug, please tell me if it's incompatible.
Mm-hmm.
I want to have as few real documents as possible.
Real being, meaning.
Oh, sorry. Copied.
Thank you for highlighting the ambiguity. Define chunks of information. I want to have small chunks that you put together in a string, like what you would do as far as I understand what Xanadu say.
Right.
Start here with this,
okay.
And then with that. A basic one would be just list all the resources entered into the system. Don't forget, in the system, there is no native lists of all the resources entered into the system. So you have
to,
somebody
has to decide to include it in the DKR.
No. Once it's in there, there is no internal structures other than
you
items.
You say, once it's in there, how does it get in there? Some person has to be responsible for saying...
Some person goes to the webpage that we build for them, and they enter in the URL to, let's say, Al Gore's speech that includes references to Evo.
Right.
And writes underneath, this is Al Gore talking, here are some keywords, blah, 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 clicks, submit.
So there's a tool that allows people to enter these URLs. You've developed that tool?
URLs.
We're about to. We have to make some minor technical modifications internally to be able to do this.
Okay, but that's kind of what you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
When you say that you're building a UKR tool.
DKR,
sorry. tool. That's what it would be.
No. There's obviously, as far as the end user is concerned, there's two sides to this. One is the data entry, the other one's the data extraction.
Forget about data entry. That's mundane.
No, it's crucial, because if the data entry is hard to do or too funky, then people just won't do it.
Good point.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So when you get to, now that you have this data in there in a relatively structured manner, you can then do operations on it.
Right.
Such as, show me all resources entered into the system. Even that is a command. That is a view specification.
Right.
So then it becomes quite trivial to say, show me only commands entered into the system by Doug.
Right.
Or, show me only commands entered into the system by Doug, which Ted has commented on negatively.
Right.
Because when you read any of these things, underneath everything, when you see it on the page, there will be a little button that says agree, disagree, extension.
Right.
You can do these things.
Right.
So you click that when you enter your own text, so then it compares. And,
right. Yeah. And also, there's got to be not only an agree, disagree.
Feel that ginger?
Did he already taste it?
He tasted it. I'm just giving.
Did he like it, honey?
Is it non-alcoholic? Is it if you felt like alternating it with anything else?
Let's look at the bottle.
Yeah. Are there any more of these little bottles? I get one for these glasses. I don't know where they are. Get one for Prod.
Oh, they're all around.
Okay.
On the drying rack. For example, Prod, this is really important. For example, Barbara Simons in Palo Alto is an ex-president of the ACM of America.
Are you acquainted?
Yes. She's on the board of directors of the OII.
Oh.
And we like her.
I'm
we like her a lot.
You know
her? Yeah, absolutely.
We love her.
Absolutely. Okay.
I've seen her picture.
She's violently against e-voting. So anything that's put up by her into this DKR, somewhere, somebody's got a comment on her.
If they want to.
Well, but somehow, some people need
suppose,
to know.
Suppose she wants to see it. Then.
Well, the thing is this. Let's say that Ted was put in charge of this project at the OII on e-voting, just to have some names to attach it, okay?
Right.
So then what would happen is a lot of people would contribute resources.
Right.
A lot of people would be adding discussion points.
Right.
And Ted would be, thank you very much for an interesting, strange thing. And then Ted's job would be to go through this, what is now structured information, and choose what to present as his view, which is just another viewpoint. Or
but what if somebody else puts up a quotation from Ted, which clearly should be taken as his view, but he no longer believes in?
Or
a quote from an article he wrote 40 years ago.
Doesn't matter, because that's all part of the dialogue. All I'm saying is,
he has to be able then to add the counter.
Right.
But hang on. Sorry, Ted, while you were outside, we were saying that you are now in charge of an e-voting DKR at the OII. Okay. Just have names attached, right? So what we're talking about is when Ted on Friday, this Friday, he has a deadline that he has to finish his DKR overview. So all he does is to go through everything that he weeds it out. It's like going through maybe Google searches. He puts together a view of what he feels with his own annotations. This is the way it is now. And he saves that view.
Yeah.
That view has a date on it. So that was what Ted felt that time. Frozen. Just the view. Which is a great analogy to the Xanadu string of stuff that explodes.
Oh, God, though.
But I've always talked about this as overview hypertext. So.
Well, but I know. But 10 minutes later, after a conversation with... somebody, he has a different view.
But it's exactly the same as if you do it today with just a normal HTML web page. It's very much the same process in actually, for Teddy, it would be almost identical process of just adding stuff.
But then everybody from all over the place adding to a DKR?
Sure. Yeah, but they're adding in the background. He chooses...
Why is he in the foreground?
Because him or anybody. Let's say that...
So if somebody edits the DKR...
Okay, I'll visualize it.
First of all, I need to understand. Does someone kind of edit the DKR?
I'll answer it. I'm sorry. I have to answer it in a slightly roundabout way, okay?
Okay.
Here is a document that your friend of the ACM in America has. This table is our DKR environment. This is somewhere else on the internet. Right?
Yes.
So someone enters this into the DKR environment by linking to it. So that now this environment is aware of that document over here.
Right.
So for visualization purposes, I'll put this on the table.
Yeah.
Right?
I'll visualize a string between that and the table.
That would be more correct to do it.
Exactly.
You know, this would be literally this, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you could say that internally it has... the comment about it is an object too. So we don't even need to, you know, this comment refers to that.
But in the beginning, when someone just plunges it into the DKR, there is no comment about it. Someone
yes.
just says,
no, when you plunge
Ted,
it in,
here's something about e-voting.
That's
fine.
A comment.
That is a comment. And that's enough for the initial. See,
the comment just is,
well, see, now
this
I'm,
belongs in this DKR because it's about e-voting.
Here's my candidate.
Yeah, I think this may be useful. That's enough. So here is the second stage, right? Now I'm Ted, right? This...
Oh, boy, careful, kid.
Yeah, how exhausting.
Yes, that's true. This placemat is my screen. This is where I'm working, right? I choose to quickly just really go like this and look at everything in different ways.
5,000 documents on e-voting? How could he look at that?
Trivial, because we will be building a powerful... view spec system that will allow me to see only comments that Doug have entered. I do this, and then all of them will align under Doug, or Doug and Ted, and you know, it's like doing queries.
But if Ted is kind of the editor of this whole space...
After having looked, this is what he does. He places the pieces in an arrangement that he likes.
I'm sorry! He's got 10,000, a million things coming in. He can't look at all of them and evaluate...
That is no different from Ted today searching billions of items on Google and choosing what to include in a report.
All right, so what's the advantage of this new space?
The advantage is that the information that goes into the system, because it's a group of people with a shared goal, will be of higher quality. Chances of there being spam is small. Just, you know, there will be negative information that Ted will disagree with, but because it will have a certain structure to it.
Based on what? Who applies the structure to it?
The people involved, and that's the only way it ever gets...
Who are the people involved?
Ted's co-workers. Other
okay,
people
so it's
at
not
AYF.
Just Ted, it's Ted and some other kind of committee
that's
going to edit.
You talk about a community, so...
Okay.
What's the difference between a community and a committee?
Now you're just being difficult.
No, that's such a good question.
So he says, is there a group that's in commonly concerned with this given issue and trying to affect it, trying to get this picture?
Okay.
And so some places, when it gets more and more organized, they're going to have to be teams of people that are specially trained to do the work, to do this.
So like in this case of e-voting, what if Barbara Simons is in charge of the community? What if she's the strongest person in the community, and what she lets in and what she emphasizes and what she says you should believe is the stuff that's against e-voting? How does that
in that case, it's exactly the same as today, in the sense that somebody gathers information, puts forward a statement. The difference between the way it is today is it is more possible for others to dissect and see sources and see arguments.
Okay.
That's clear.
Fabulous.
And she can't push aside those who are coming through with counter arguments.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That makes it a lot.
And generally speaking, it's one somebody in charge of it, but that's not the person that can go make these arbitrary decisions about what's going to be acceptable or not.
Right.
The acceptability of something has to be on a rational basis of argument structure. And that's something that we have to start getting in there and evolving into the way in which this thinking and working is done.
But who decides that the argument structure is right or wrong?
Well, there are a lot of principles being developed so far about that. It's just sort of like saying, mathematically, you know, somebody pointed out that there's an issue here at left that somebody says, I contest that. It's dangling. No one's ever dealt with it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they have dealt with it, it hasn't been appropriate. So somebody comes in and starts putting those...
So you think it will be possible to have some objective way of evaluating arguments?
No. Oh.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be.
Okay.
It needs to approach objectivity. That needs to be some elusive goal. But Simon Buckingham-Shum has one really, for me, illuminating aspect to this. If you have two... Now he's being more traditional. If you have a document and someone wants to comment on it, let's say it's some PhD thesis or whatever, all you do is you virtually, in his visualization system, which is really neat, you write on top, I think this is rubbish, and then you draw a line to it or a section.
Ooh.
Right?
Okay, this is not what I saw before.
Yeah. Right. So it is very crucial that that the comment here is, I think the point about argument structures is rubbish. You have the comment itself has to contain what you're commenting on. Because the document itself...
Part two of commenting.
No, it has to be. It has to be it.
Wait. Contain. These are separate things. As long as there's this firm connection, isn't that satisfactory?
Nope. This is what's...
Containment in what sense?
Okay. Let me say, for instance, computer lib.
Yeah.
Let me say that I wanted to say...
On page 23...
No. Vaguer.
Sorry.
I think that Ted Nelson's ideas is just not capitalistic enough, doesn't take into account, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
That's my comment.
Yeah.
And it's pointing to that. However, what I'm even stating that you're saying
could
be completely wrong.
Right. But I say, but if you make a firm connection, then that doesn't break.
No.
How is that different from what you're saying?
No, because I may actually say that you like pizza, and it's not a reference to pizza in the document.
Containment implies duplication of the bytes. Right? What's wrong with transclusion?
Because this is the neat thing. There's an element of abstraction here that surprised me. I hated it at first, and then I kind of gelled to it. It is that I can say Ted Nelson doesn't like pizza, and you have never talked about these things,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
So
wait.
Conceptually, it's really, really interesting.
Go ahead.
Because then someone else can come in and say, "What the hell are you talking about? That's irrelevant." You can have a link called irrelevant, maybe. Right? Because if you're talking about a paragraph inside the document, that kind of gives an illusion that you know what's behind that paragraph, what Ted was thinking, and all kinds of things. So you have to state in your argument that in computer lib, I feel Ted is talking about pizzas in a negative manner.
The word contain.
No, this is just some person saying it. You can say you like the color blue. It could be not in there. It doesn't matter. What happens is...
I don't understand what you're talking about.
I understand what he's talking about. I don't see why it's...
What's the difference between containment and transclusion?
Why shouldn't he point to the part of computer lib that he disagrees with?
Because this is weird, and I'm going to stop talking in a second because I'm sure Doug will correct me because he saw the same demo. Computer lib is irrelevant.
Comments on computer lib are important, but computer lib itself is irrelevant.
In this context, yes. You see,
I called it Adam.
What you say? This is the neat thing.
We're going to take a timeout here.
Okay. I have to call Adam.
Yeah, I understand.
I was thinking along your lines completely, but what I realized is, in his commenting system, people are commenting on comments. It's like,
Who cares?
No, it's important because if you point to or transclude a paragraph in Ted's work, for instance, right?
Yeah.
That implies a lot. That implies that the person commenting on it really knows what he's talking about.
No, it implies he's commenting on a specific paragraph or sentence or whatever.
That what is really going on mentally is that that person is making a comment based on an impression that was somehow formed by looking at something in this book.
Then I think he ought to have to...
It goes on from there.
Yep.
If somebody else can point to that and say, hey, this is shallow, you're not considering this. Or
okay.
And someone else could just put a comment out in space that doesn't refer
to... you don't even have to have the original computer lib there.
You don't even have to... You could make
it's
a comment...
It's just a bunch of random comments.
No, come on.
Random comments that have a structure between each other.
But don't have a structure based on the actual computer lib.
Yes, that's right.
Wait,
I don't...
I'm taking it a little further.
That would then show up. It says, hey, look, this doesn't tie to the actual fact there, so why are people talking about it? always a place for an objection to come in to point to something. And pretty soon they find out that, this was just not associated at all with what Ted's really was meaning. And that will evolve and come out of it.
If you do the example of e-voting, you would probably want to compare lots of papers on it and lots of sources. However, you would probably also, walking down the street, get a great idea and realize it has nothing to do with any published paper. So you want to put in a comment that kind of stands on its own.
Well, right.
Right.
But the comment wouldn't be about a paper. You were talking about a comment on computer lib that actually didn't refer to a specific part of computer lib.
That's what confused me, too. So, basically, all this is doing, it is a general argument system between different arguments that are quite codified, which may be referring to real-world published work, or may not.
But really, if it was something... people referring to it and it was really erroneous, pretty soon it would be and just set aside as, hey, this just didn't lead anywhere. It's not, you can go in and reignite it if you want to, but hey, that's that just demonstrated. So that's what all this point and counterpoint can do.
And that becomes a matter of view specs, because you can choose to see everything except those comments which have more than three negative comments associated with them. Very exciting.
It's otherwise, what would happen? See, people would push it aside or something, or build it up or something under false assumptions.
Exactly.
So it says, hey, you can always go in and point, and until if there are some guys saying, oh, hey, that really isn't valid, well, until you can go in and find out what he meant, if he doesn't fulfill that, just set it aside because, hey, he's not. He's just making an empty comment about that's not valid.
But then the person saying it's not valid has to have a certain trustworthiness. I mean,
well, it's more than that. It's more than that. It's like he has to be able to say why.
He must have trustworthiness as a reputation, and it is useful to have logic in the argument. And he could also point to another published work which contradicts to prove his point. So that's why there may be a computer lib kind of document there, or there may be not. It lends credence. It's pretty much all it does.
Because we that's can. What I mean about argument structure and the logic of it is if you put up something that says, "Hey, this is the way to do it," and somebody else can say, "Hey, you know, someplace over here showed that that wasn't the way, or indicated, or implied it, or something." Well, until you can unfangle that and find out, hey, but that was a meaningless thing pointing to something else.
Right.
So that would clear the pathway.
Right.
So that's...
I just think of complicated... I'm just thinking of a particular complicated issue right now, which is recycling.
Yep.
Because everybody thinks recycling is great, but in fact there are costs involved with recycling where it's more expensive to recycle...
For the
than to not.
Yeah,
and
yes.
How do you trust, you know, there'll be passionate Green Party people saying, oh, here are all the reasons to recycle, and then there'll be somebody else saying, cost negative to recycle, so don't bother.
I can tell you.
How do you believe?
Exactly the same you do today.
I don't believe anything because I don't know who to believe.
You use exactly the same three things we talked about before. The reputation of the person or body making the arguments. You look at the logic and you look at the references. So these kinds of systems allow you to do a simple query that says, I want to see everything, every item that's... You have to look at this big, messy map and say, okay, someone's saying something here. Look at everything that refutes it. That has a reference that's external. In other words, you don't want to look at just opinions, you want to look at the ones that show some data.
Right.
So then you spend a minute and you just look at all the ones that supposedly, because
I know, because the fact what people quote as the basis for their argument is not necessarily accurate.
That's right.
So this is why this structured argument.
How do you ever find then who's got the accurate assessment?
They have these structured methods by which you can actually look at a diagrammatic form and find out, here's this assertion this guy made.
Right.
And every supportive thing fell through. You just go down there and say,
and
no one has been able to support it with anything valid.
Right.
And there are counters of it that, you look over here, the counter things of it and how they, you know, there are dozens of people around the world that have been working on these diagrammatics.
But still, at some point, you make up.
Can
you ring my kone? 831-3667. Ring meg, ha det. Hvis du kan ringe henne, det ikke noe problem. Bare ring når du kan, ok? Henning, jeg sitter i middag. Bare ring når du har tid. Ring til meg, så skal jeg gi deg
noe. Wouldn't it be fun to have another language?
Oui.
That's okay.
That's my other language.
I don't understand. He has a phone that has a speakerphone on it. But yet, when he's driving, he doesn't use it. He's doing the illegal thing.
Oh
now he just said I missed a turn.
It's Henning?
What do I care? Just put the phone there and talk to me. And I said to him was, call me when you get home. But what's it about him? Just call me when you get home. It's fine.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed my turn.
Right.
No, I just want him to talk to Therese firsthand.
Anyway...
And I have to check if Marlene's come home. She was so depressed today. She's coming back from Paris, France, whatever.
Oh,
just trying to make
the
sure she's
poor
home.
Thing.
Which poor thing are we talking about?
The other
His Marlene.
Oh.
The one that had to babysit you.
Yeah.
Hi, welcome home. I'm at Oxford, that's why I'm not there. With Ted and Doug and Marlene. Are you okay? Is there enough salad for you? Oh, yeah?
Some part would probably have been valuable to go into what
just
these
the number on
structured
the...
argument people have been evolving in these last 8 years or so. And
it's a big dial on the right. So I don't know if it
here comes
the
an issue.
Up or down. I have no idea.
What are all the interactions, etc., that comes out to resolve the issue?
She posted
the and if somebody later comes back and says, "Hey, I'm not so sure that that was the right resolution.
Yeah.
Well, go back and see the structure out. Oh, hey.
That's what I want to see.
Okay, right.
Go back when new information is.
We'll have a good talk.
That's what it provides.
And say, look, all of you people who believed this.
Right.
Okay, you do
here's new information.
That's what that provides for.
You
go back and, hey, there's a new node here that points to this thing that says, there's a serious question about that particular assertion.
Yeah.
Which was the one that based the whole solution on.
Yeah, but it's okay.
You could also go back and say, hey, what was the really, where did it really come out that this great idea that people have come back to say this is really the great movement, where did that come from? This one guy in this one meeting was saying this.
Yeah.
And so
I think of pharmaceuticals right off the bat. Well, where we all believe that, saccharin is good for you. It's
saccharin
great.
Was originally developed to be poison.
You're right. And so you buy into that because, the FDA approves of it, blah, blah, blah.
Okay, got it. Pardon.
Well, that's, there are at least two books about this coming out in the last 2 years.
Oh, I'm sure.
And it's just a very important thing.
Honestly, there's so many authoritative. It's like being at a trial where each side has the expert witnesses. There's an expert to say, the blood is his, and there's an expert to say the blood
is. That's just the world. The only difference between these systems are that it allows you to trace the arguments. That's all. You're never going to be able to develop a system that just spews out the truth, So it has to be how to go through it.
Oh, too bad. That's what I wanted, truth system.
No, but it's trying to get so that it's stronger and stronger, that it's very hard to shake.
Yeah.
And say, look, you found some way back in here that one of the trace arguments was misconstrued. Oh, that might change the whole damn thing.
Well, what I want to see is that when that is found out, that some automatic thing will percolate through the system to show everybody who looked at anything and believed it.
We could do that.
I want something to notify me and say, remember 2 years ago when you read that eggs were bad for cholesterol?
This is important. There's a story in Out of Control, apocryphal story of Marvin Minsky and Doug Engelbart walking around on the MIT campus. Apocryphal, but Doug says it kind of should have, could have happened. Marvin Minsky says, look, we're going to make these computers smart. We're going to make them intelligent. We're going to make them making decisions for themselves. It's going to be wonderful. And Doug says, that's great, but what are you going to do for people? Right? So what you're saying is, if you're expecting some autonomous, intelligent agent, fine. I'm sure someone will do that. But within the realm of what we're discussing now, you would define basically a view that could say something, because all these objects have structure to them, as in they're commented as a positive comment or a negative comment.
Right.
They're pointing to a resource or not, and so forth. They have people behind them. That data.
Comments aren't totally negative or totally positive.
Or
they're
in between. So you could easily set a view that says, if Doug and Ted agree with some issue, you want to be notified.
Right.
For instance, right? Or if X amount of people support anything, you want to be notified.
Or
anything like that, because that's up to you.
Or what I was just saying is, if I based a decision on something that I found in this DKR,
you should be able to point to it when you justify your decision.
If I say, I'm now going to stop eating eggs because the information in this DKR says eggs are bad for cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
Then 2 years later, when everybody decides eggs are okay, I want to be notified.
Well, the system of the future certainly can do that.
What you are saying now, I know only one thing about programming. I refuse to learn to program, right?
Yeah.
The one thing I know is that anything can be programmed, as long as the,
exactly.
the system knows what can actually access the data, and the instructions are explicit.
Well, it has to keep track of the fact that I made this decision based on this route that I passed.
You can't say anything as vague as, if suddenly it is different. You can't say that.
Why not?
Because...
You should be able to.
No, because the system won't know what suddenly means. And it won't know what difference means.
Someday, probably.
But,
thank you,
some fuzzy logic, maybe. But what you can do, definitely...
No, they've reversed themselves on these decisions.
You can have... If X amount of people reverse decisions, be notified.
If the FDA reverses its position.
All kinds of things like that. Yeah, sure.
Oh, boy.
What did I miss?
You missed us almost as much as we missed you.
Everything. Yep. By the way, Adam's presentation in Edinburgh, Zigzag, his own bioinformatics group, went very... It had an immense impact, apparently.
Lovely.
Yeah, so he hasn't, cool. He hasn't seen it before.
So when is...
I didn't speak to Adam. I only spoke to...
Okay, and what are we going to try to get Adam and Matthew together?
Thursday or Friday, but I have to get hold of Adam, yeah.
Already, Bill Dutton is scheduled for Friday,
yeah, but,
and
but,
already...
But that's a separate thing. But Dutton's lunch, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in the evening, Freud's colleagues from... UCL are coming down here.
So I'm more strongly suggesting that Adam should come on Thursday.
Okay.
But have we got a plan for Saturday, or what's the...
No, Saturday is a rest day.
Oh, excellent. Yes, you should jolly well rest before flying. I think that's a very good idea.
Maybe we can
Monday
go boating.
Rest. I should go home, nonsense.
No, I think we're going to cancel the standbys for Saturday.
We want you to sleep before you go. So
I think
you
should have a really
nice
rest day
rested.
On Saturday.
Jeez. With all the excitement that'd be going on, I'd be bored. Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
We could take you boating.
Oh.
Before I turn off the iPod, because I think we're kind of winding down.
Okay,
it seems. Yeah. Why don't we do a couple of summaries? And if I may go first, I'll just wait for Ted.
Waiting for Ted.
Yeah, let me just think
first. This is non-alcoholic.
Yeah, it's ginger. Shh, it's fabulous.
Ginger.
Usually, it's called a whatever. Anyway, you're supposed
get
to pour in.
Get your resistance started here.
What's that, honey?
That's bio. What is bio? What they say?
Yogurt.
Yeah, it's very delicious.
It's wonderful yogurt.
Get the for resistance.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yes. Resistance to wiles? Or
yeah, exactly.
Resistance is futile, but try it anyway.
Resistance is useless.
Yogurt? Is that
yeah.
Delicious yogurt.
Bio something, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's very good stuff.
Is it plum yogurt?
Whatever it was in there with the fruit on the side. I didn't notice which fruit.
Just as a summary from this side of the table, a lot of these issues are exactly the same as how we deal with the world today. What my personal interest in is symbol manipulation, as Doug calls it. I call it just playing around with words more flexibly, because that's where we put our thoughts. So if you have a more structured system where connections are more obvious, then later on, people with new tools, new ideas, new means, new procedures, can get better and better views, both in their heads and on the screen of the information.
What do you mean a structured system where connections are more obvious?
Such as a simple thing like you entering a resource. Such as you entering a URL as a resource into the DKR library of what is good for e-voting, to stay with that example.
Yeah.
And then Marlene clicking the button says, I want to enter a comment that disagrees with this. That kind of structure. So I'm not talking about some deep ontological understandings or automatic whatever. I'm talking about really simple, someone states a position explicitly and with lots of words. Because that allows it to be reworked later. That's all, in my world, the way I see what I'm trying to do for Doug, that's all it is. If you have the chunks and the system understands the chunks, we can build amazing query systems, amazing view systems, compare, contrast, and understand. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Does that
it's an experiment.
Yeah.
Totally. That's a wonderful experiment. So how do you see deep lit or zigzag or anything tying in with this?
I have no clue.
Well, insofar as this is a service system that allows you to have what Doug calls fine grained addressability, plus all bytes connected to the original context. I forgot to mention that one of the most fundamental properties of Xanadu is that nothing is ever out of its original context. Now, I'm sure that's true also for yours, but it's just something we emphasize.
Nothing is ever out of being able to be viewed
through to its original context, correct. But it's as though every byte knew its origin.
In a DKR.
That's why
to be able to see the original context. So if somebody's just trying to say, "Oh, this guy says
that's why everything is contained, and it's that's why currently, and we're really setting ourselves up to fail, because it's an experiment to see how far we can go in different directions. Right? Uh-huh. So we're using just the general database size of a blog as the basic unit. So that, because with a blog today, we can, you know, I can view all my posts on a specific date range, keyword, do whatever I want.
Yeah, but you can't see.
But I can have a look into deepLit.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I can. All I need to do is add underneath every single one of my posts. It's a button saying agree, disagree, whatever. I'll post the window. You say I disagree. Underneath my post, it'll say see everybody who disagrees.
Okay.
That kind of stuff.
Okay.
That's what's good. And realizing this is an experiment.
Of course.
Yeah.
And,
a lovely experiment.
Right. With lots of
a noble experiment.
There are flaws in the system already. There are disagreements. There are logical inconsistencies. There is a lot of expert knowledge missing, such as the specific IBIS stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
That's all on purpose.
So here's a component of deepLit that you might want to use right away, and that's the Southampton server, which gives you a URL for a span.
Hang on, so the URL is ted.hyperland.com.
No. Okay. Here's an article I wrote called Way Out of the Box.
Right.
And it's being served out of the University of Southampton in the deep-lit portion of a server called ePrints, which is a very widespread server. Mm. It's used throughout the academic community. So I'm now going to get, I'm going to take a quotation from here. So I say, suppose they
What if things are not on ePrints, just as a quick initial question?
Well, you can get an ePrint server and run it off your Mac, for example.
Right, good point.
Okay, so suppose they took away your right to vote, so I'm going to make this sentence here's the actual ending. Mm-hmm. Okay, so here's the quotation that I want, but we're going to keep it connected to the original. So the original is only a click away. And that means that we use this URL. And I'll open this in a new window. So here, let's open this one. Let's click on this window. And this is the characters called by that in character format. And here it is in a sort of HTML format that reformats it. Right? Okay. But now you say, I want to see the original context. There is that sentence. And I want to see the context in the full document. There it is in the full document. So that's a component you can use if they're not.
So we can have one URL that'll go here like this and show that highlighted.
Mm-hmm.
So to get to this, I go to where?
Let's see. I don't know. You lost it. Oh, here.
That's
thank
the
you.
Wrong. Where's the...
Thank you. It was open something about open...
Tilde makes me. You're
thrashing around here.
Sorry, it's the difference between Safari and Lost.
So that's that one. So that is the quotation brought by the URL.
But where is your system stored? What was the first? Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'd have to check.
Okay.
But I just go to my homepage, ted.hyperland.com, yeah.
Yep.
So I just go there, and I happen to have this article highlighted. Now, I hope within 2 weeks I will have 20 or 30 articles, but it takes time to put them up because I have to reformat them, etc.
So ted.hyperland.com and go down to Way Out of the Box.
Yeah. Now,
In fact, because I've got this framed, you can't see the original URL. But you can get it by what I've just shown you.
Oh yeah, that's I understand. That's
so no so here's the URL. Okay. So here's the URL.
You see, so we can not just get the whole article. See, this is the long bit. But if you take this, all right, take this one and put it in the.
Just Command L.
Command L is what?
Location. So it's left side.
Okay. So now I'll just back it up here. See.
I'll tell him to call back. Hi, do can you link the podcast? Sip. Hi.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. So I just put the front part of the article. So here's the text version of the article in text format, and it only comes in text format except through those special.
Right.
Because right now I'm just defining dplyv for work with text, no markups, no anything. By the end of the summer, I hope to have it defined with the whole bells and whistles of zigzag-based formatting, but I can't work that fast. So that's how it works. So in other words, putting my articles for use this way on the server is the next job.
So ordinary HTML URLs will get at it?
No. Because ordinary HTMLs, if you take a character count, they will include the...
I'm just trying to figure out how we can get URLs, links to point to that stuff.
Oh yeah, that's what you did 2 steps ago, Ted.
Yeah, yes, they're particular URLs, but you have to use a dialogue to get at them or an algorithm to make them.
Sure, but I mean, once he's established that as a reference,
yep.
So it works and goes to that point and highlights the particular string of text.
Yep.
Great.
So that gives you the standard URLs which will do that. But the standard URL will then appear with that go back to original context box above it. I mean, the quotation will appear. If you wish to put it to use it in some other context, you use the pure text URL, and it comes in without, and you have to get the context URL another way. If you want a separate window with just the quotation and the jump to the original context, you do it a different way.
So how do you? I didn't quite be able to untangle all that, but.
Mm-hmm.
If he's trying to get in the sort of HTML linkage world,
mm-hmm.
a URL that'll point into that document and highlight the particular passage he's referring to, that'll work.
Ask the question again.
That if he's living in the HTML world,
yep.
there's a URL that'll point into your document
yep.
to that string of text.
Yep.
Okay, then if someone wants to explore the rest of what's in that document,
yep.
can the URL contents still
yeah.
work?
Yeah, so because it gives you... Right now what we've got defined is that if you use this one, it comes in HTML format, and you have this little bar at the top for view context.
Mm-hmm.
That's the view context. But if you want to get the pure text version, which then gives you text characters and nothing and no markup, then that's presumed that you want to use it in some other way. So we have to give you an algorithmic method for finding the original context, and that hasn't been defined yet, but it will be.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you for pointing that out, because I have to pursue it.
So. This, in a general sense, is one of the things that excite me about the hyperscope thing is that mm-hmm. we can point to passages and all kinds of documents.
Yep. Yep. I understand.
So, all these first stages of a DKR are just, hey, we're just getting started. And they'll start teaching us a lot more about what other potentials would be and what you need to improve, etc.
I think I'm getting the wavelength, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Want to see some dirty pictures?
Oh boy, that's a nice one. Huh, that's not too bad.
It's all yesterday.
Huh. Mm. Yum.
And just the trip.
Mm-hmm. Good. I'll plug your mouse back in.
What was it the philosopher says?
The philosopher.
Life unblogged is a life unlived, isn't that one? Or was it life unexamined? I'm sorry. It's not worth it.
Yeah, well.
If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to blog it, it'll make a sound.
You're mistaking me for someone who's interested in blogs.
Good comeback, Ted. But I'm not mistaking you for someone who is not interested in mints.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Good boy. Thank you for a most chaste meal. It was just right for me.
Oh, lovely, honey. So, actually, with
yesterday
no
I had
rice,
cake.
It would have been okay.
Yep, and
is that nice?
I've had enough. Oh, I don't like that very much. Oh. Didn't do that.
Quarter to 11, is that what time it is?
Isn't that ridiculous?
Oh my God, kids.
How it sneaks up on us.
Perfect. I'm going to have to leave you guys soon, because otherwise I end up getting home.
Would you?
I found
the CD-ROMs, Frode.
Mm-hmm.
They were right over there.
Oh.
Would you cut me these last two, or do you have time?
Yeah, but you want this one and the next few as well. Why don't I do all
of them okay.
together?
Okay.
Okay. Everybody say goodnight, iPod.
Goodnight, iPod.
Goodnight, iPod.